to the resurrection chapter. Somebody tell me what chapter that is. Book and chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. All right? There's no chapter in all the Bible that speaks more on the resurrection than 1 Corinthians 15. There's a lot of questions answered in 1 Corinthians 15. We have the best definition of the gospel in all the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel? You know, we hear a lot about the gospel, don't we? You have some people say, well, that's the gospel truth, you know. And then others say, well, you know what? I'm telling you the truth. That's the gospel, you know. Well, it may be, may not be. I don't know. Tell me. What is the gospel? The gospel is what Paul said it is right here. Look at it. You're in 1 Corinthians 15. He said in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now, here it is. Here it is. Which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And here's what he preached, and this is what he delivered, what he received. He said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. You know, isn't it interesting that a lot of times when we talk about the gospel, we leave out that part, but that is an integral part of the gospel. That's not my message tonight, but there's a reason that being buried, Christ being buried, is an integral part of the gospel. And so the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried in verse number 5. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. The gospel is just, it's not, well, the gospel is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. No, it's not. No, it's not. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's very important that you understand what the gospel is. That word is thrown around a lot. Sometimes a man will get up and he'll preach good Bible truth, and people say, well, he preached the gospel. Well, if he preached of death, burial, and resurrection, he did. Amen? You can preach truth without preaching the gospel, but the gospel is what should be preached first and foremost. Right? Yeah. Very important that people hear, know, share the gospel. Now, the apostle begins to deal with the resurrection. And there is this principle in the Bible, and I want to share it with you, and then we'll get into one aspect of the resurrection. Just one. And I'm not going to, I've got it broke down into two parts. I don't know how far we'll get tonight. We'll do one part tonight, the second part next week, the Lord willing. But I want to talk to you about this. I want to preach a message to you about our resurrection bodies. Our resurrection bodies. As I talk to people, I am stunned at some of the ideas that people have, and it's sad about the life hereafter, the afterlife, what it's going to be like. I don't know. It's rather plain in the Scripture. Now, there's some uncertainties, and I will mention those. I'm not going to elaborate on them. Why would you elaborate on something you're uncertain of? I'm going to elaborate on the certainties. I've learned when in life, and especially when you're in the Scripture, don't major on the uncertainties. Major on the certainties, right? You start majoring on uncertainties, and you'll find yourself floundering. And that's in anything in life. It's good to pitch your tent, to drive your stakes in the areas of certainty. And as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, he will begin to clear up those uncertainties, and you can move them into the certainty tent where you have drove your stakes in. Amen? And so many people just floundering about with uncertainties, and that's why they live a life of doubt, of little to no fruit. But no, I'm asking you, and I'm going to challenge you. you drive your stakes in the areas of certainty and you work on those uncertainties, and God will help you as you grow in your faith. All right? We'll all do that. That's what we're all doing. There's areas in all of our lives of uncertainty. We do not know it all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to reveal some things tonight. I do not understand all about our resurrection bodies. I do not. But I want to speak to you on what I do know. And what we do know, I think, can be enough to encourage us. I really do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for this passage of Scripture where you reveal what you would have us to know about our resurrection bodies. And I pray that we would listen intently. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak not only to me, through me, but to your people here tonight. Help us to glean some truth that would encourage us and give us that assurance that is needful to share our faith with certainty. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here in 1 Corinthians, there are some different questions that are answered about the resurrection. And Paul, he states the resurrection. He talks about the witnesses, and he talks about the different things that it affects in mankind and humans' lives. And then he begins to say, now, as far as being a Christian, he said, I want to talk to you about what it's going to look like when your body is resurrected. Now, when he began to talk about it, if you'll look over just for a moment in verse number 35, he said that some man will say, how are the dead raised? That's a good question. I don't know that Paul is saying here in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I don't know that he's saying, well, you know, there's some smart aleck out there, or there's some that don't believe. You know, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Somebody said that's why they were Sadducee, right? They didn't believe in the resurrection. And there's groups today that don't believe in the resurrection. I don't know that Paul was addressing that group. I'm thinking that he may be addressing folks in the church that in their mind, they're trying to reason and figure out, maybe scientifically, you know, it's kind of like maybe Nicodemus when he was trying to figure out, yeah, how can you be born when you're old? How can you come back alive when you're dead? How can your body that goes through this decomposition process, how can that be brought back alive? I think that's fair, right? I mean, if you're just looking at it from a natural point of view. And so he said in verse number 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? How is this going to happen? Maybe you've thought about that. I know I have. What's that going to look like? How's this going to come about? And then he asked another question in verse 35. And he said, and with what body do they come? I think these are good questions. And I think Paul had fielded these questions. As a matter of fact, if you go through the book of Corinthians, the folks there had written Paul and had asked him several questions, and he began several paragraphs or sections in his letter with this. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. And he began to write unto them about different things that they had questioned him about, and I think this is one of them. So let's just think a little bit about this. So he said, how are the dead raised up? And he said, and with what body do they come? And what he does from there is he said, I'm going to give you an illustration. And he took a page out of our Lord's book, right? Out of the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus spoke in parables. Now, I'm not saying Paul gave a parable, but he gave a great illustration. And in many ways, that's what a parable is. It's an earthly illustration that teaches a heavenly truth. And so he said, well, let me give you an illustration to help you understand about the resurrection. Now, I thought about this. I thought Paul was so certain about what he was talking about. As a matter of fact, if you'll look at it again in verse 35, he said, but some man will say, I wonder if he had this man in mind. I just wonder. Go take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts. Now, I think he's wanting to help some people, but you know, there was a man one time, Acts 26. Would you turn there? And those of you who know, have navigated through your Bible, you know where I'm going. There was a king, and Paul was standing in front of this king. He had been standing in front of governors, and now he's before King Agrippa, and he's making a defense for the gospel. And he asked the king this question, and he made this statement that is just so, it's profound, but it's just so full of certainty. And I want you to see if you can see how Paul asked this question. Acts 26, I think it's verse 9, it's verse 8. So here's the question. He said in verse number 8, Paul speaking to King Agrippa, he said, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead?" Now, you know, depending on how you read that, it's very important how you read the scripture. Not that you read it, but how you read it. Remember? Adam, where art thou? Depending on how you read that will give you a good view of how you feel about God. God did not scream that in condemnation to Adam. I believe he called it out of love. Adam, where art thou? You know, I'm longing and seeking our fellowship. Where are you? What's going on? God knew where Adam was, right? What do you think Paul was saying here to King Agrippa? Don't miss it now. Look at verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead? Now, the emphasis is not on dead. The emphasis is on God. King Agrippa, I'm not talking to you about some mortal man. I'm not talking to you about some pocket God. I have just told you about this Creator God. Why would it seem an incredible thing that the God that created the heaven and the earth could raise the dead? Right? You see what Paul is doing? Once you accept God, there is a God, the Creator. Nothing else is really that difficult. Do you understand what Paul was doing here? See, when people struggle, it's because they struggle with their belief that there's a God. You get past Genesis 1:1, brethren, and pretty much you're gonna be okay when it comes to faith and what God can do. If our God can create, listen carefully now, everything out of nothing. He spoke everything into existence. So if he can create everything from nothing, I think he can change our bodies. He can resurrect our vile bodies and to become like his glorified body. Amen? And that's exactly what Paul was doing here. He said in verse number 8, why should it be thought an incredible thing with you? I've told you about my God. You know, my God raises the dead. You listening, brethren? So when the devil comes and sits on your shoulder and tells you, well, God can't do this, God can't do that, you just give him scripture. My God can do all things. There's nothing impossible with our God. Nothing. And God has really been speaking to me about this. I spoke with our pastors yesterday, and I told them, you know, I remember a day when people lived by that kind of faith. There is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing, brethren. Nothing. And so God, help us to get to that place in our lives. Now, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so he said, I want you to know that God is going to do this. He said in verse number 37, verse 36, he said, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." And he says, so here's what's going to happen. And he used this grain of wheat. Right? You've read this. And he said, this grain of wheat, except it die, it's not going to live again. But it's got to be sown in death so it can be raised alive. Right? Is that what he said? Is that what the scripture says? Look at it again in verse number 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. And so he said, you sow the seed, it dies, the grain of wheat, and then it springs up. Right? That's exactly what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get a different body from the same body, but it's going to be you. Now, we'll get into that a little later. You say, well, how can that happen? I do not have time to go into all this, but I hope you will do this, okay? I have spent a lot of time. I'm not even going to tell you how much, because I don't even know how much. In looking at our bodies and how the changes, the body that we're sitting in here tonight in is not the same that it was a year ago. It's not the same that it was 5 years ago. And many of you is going to really catch on to this one. It's not the same that it was 10 years ago. Somebody say amen with me there. It is ever changing in so many ways. Through blood cells that are passing through your system and flushing out of your system, new blood cells that are regenerating, and you're just different. You're a different body, but you're the same body and the same person. Well, you explain that. I can't explain that. That's God. I cannot explain that. I just know that my body's not the same that it was last year. It's certainly not the same it was 10 years ago, and yours is not either. It's kind of like this. I heard a man give this illustration. I really liked it. It's like going to, we'll take the Amazon River or the Mississippi River or the James River right here. You go to the river, and you look at that river, and you say, that's the James River. And you look at it, and wow, what a nice body of water. And then you go back the next month, maybe, you know, you could say the next year for sure, but the next month, I want to ask you something. Is that the same body of water? Well, it is in some way, but it's not in others. There's not a drop of that water you looked at last month that is there this month when you look at it, but it's still the James River. You following me? Now, there's something about life that I can't explain. Man can't explain. Man can explain life until it gets to where it, the miracle and the mystery of it. That's God. That's God. You understand what I just said to you? There is a principle that our minds cannot wrap around because of God. If we could explain it, then it would be of man. But you cannot explain some things that God does. You cannot explain it. There is a miracle about life. And so here, when he's talking about the resurrection body, he's saying, when you die, it's like that grain of wheat. It's going to be put in the ground, and there's going to be another life spring up from it that's going to be the likeness of that was sown into the ground. And so he uses this illustration to help us to understand what it's like as a Christian to be resurrected. Our resurrection body. Now let's talk a little bit more about it. So, well, that's kind of general. Well, he gets more specific, okay? Then he gets into this, all right? Now, I want to make this very clear. Do I understand all that I just told you? I do not. If you do, see me after the service so I can give you your certificate of insanity. You don't understand it. This is of God. Life is of a God, brethren. You understand that, right? There's some aspects about life that we can break down and we can study, but when it comes to life itself, that's God. That's God. God is the source of life. Now, God has breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life so that we can reproduce life. That's a miracle, and he did it in many aspects of his creation. It's the miracle of life that its source is God. I hope you understand what I just said. At least that part. Do I understand how it works? No. Do I believe it? Absolutely. I believe every word of it. I believe every word of what I just said. I don't have to understand it to believe it. That's faith. Amen? You understand? I hope that you do. Now, number two. Though we're going to be planted one day if we're not translated, and if we are, then we'll talk about that as we get toward the end of the chapter. But, and we're going to raise one day, we're still going to be individuals. Now, some people, and this is what, I'm going to slow down a little bit, because here's where people say, well, you know, when we all get to heaven, we're all going to look alike. I've never read that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere ever. As a matter of fact, I read the exact opposite right here. As a matter of fact, when Peter, John, and James were on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's astounding to me that there was no introductions, and they knew who Moses and Elijah were. No introductions. When the rich man and Lazarus were in eternity, no introductions, they knew personalities and individuals. There's something about recognizing who people are, who having a recognition and a knowledge of who people are in the afterlife. I can't explain it, but Paul is going to break it down a little bit for us here, so I want you to follow what he says. Notice, if you would, in verse number 38. He said, "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body." He said, "Now all flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds." He said, "There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory." Now watch this. "So is the resurrection of the dead." So, we're all not going to look the same. We all look the same now. We're different. We have different DNA. You know, someone has said, I don't know. Someone has said there's no two snowflakes the same. I don't know. I don't know. I know God can do it. Now, whether he's done it or not, I don't know. I do know this. There's no known two fingerprints the same from different people. DNA, stem cell. It's not. It's the way that you identify an individual. Now, only God can do that. I know you know this. Only God can make everything of the same species or the same race or the same origin, and it have a variety of difference. God, only God can do that. And it's amazing to me. Of all of the people that have lived, the billions and trillions and trillions and tens of billions and trillions of people, no two fingerprints the same. Does that astound you? It astounds me. It doesn't take a whole lot to astound me, but that's astounding. I mean, it's just astounding that God does that. And so he says, just like we're different now, when we get there, we're going to be different too. Now, when I look at, he said, God can not only do it in earthly, and he's leading up to something here. He said, now God can not only do that in verse number 39 with things of the earth, but in verse number 40, he said he can also do it with the terrestrial, the things of glory. He said in glory, in verse 41, there's the sun, and then of another glory, there's the moon, and then a glory of stars, and one star differeth from another. And so he said, though they're the same bodies, they're in the same sphere, they're different. You see what Paul was saying here? Now, I think that what Paul was saying, and I wouldn't split hairs with people, is everybody's not going to be on the same level in heaven. I think people think that. You know, we get to heaven, we're all going to be the same, and we're all going to be on the same level. I don't believe that at all. When I mean level, I mean as far as our rewards and our brightness. I just don't believe that. I believe there'll be degrees of punishment in hell. I'm sorry for that, for those that are going there, but I do believe, because Jesus said in the day of judgment it would be more tolerable for some than it would be others. You explain that. There's no other way to explain it except there'll be different degrees of punishment. Did Jesus teach that? Come on, brother. Did Jesus teach that? Do you think that a person who has been a slacker and has not followed God's commandments, now they're saved, and has not done God's will and has not served the Lord with purpose and has not fulfilled God's purpose for their life, when they get to heaven, you think that they're going to be on the same level, the same platform, if you will, as the Apostle Paul? I would hope you don't think that. And somehow we've got these things in our mind, and I think what Paul is saying here is, listen, there's a couple things you need to understand. First of all, when I look up in the sun, I don't get confused on which one's the sun. When I look up in the sky, that's what I meant to say. I don't get confused and say, well, let's see now. There's two. Is that the sun or is that the sun? No, that's just, I know what the sun is. This is what Paul is saying. There's going to be distinguishment in heaven. By the way, when you get to heaven, you're going to say, you know what? Is that Brother Dale? That's not the way it's going to be. Is that old Devin Merriman? It looks like him. You don't think that's what it's going to be in heaven, do you, brother? Do you? You don't know? You don't think we're going to know each other in heaven? I'm asking some questions, brethren. You can talk back to me. You think when we get to heaven that people's just going to be looking around saying, you know, you look familiar, but I... No way. No way. Who wants to go to that place? I don't want to go to a place where I don't know anyone. Guess I got a pocket full of tracks. But I'm not going to need any tracks in heaven. Please. And we get these things mixed up, and Paul was breaking it down for us, and he said, listen, he said, there's different, in verse number 39, he said, all flesh is not the same flesh, but though there are differences, we're going to be distinguishable. We're still going to have, I'm still going to be me. You're still going to be you. I do hope you understand that. When we get to heaven, we're still going to be us. But it's going to be in a greater way, and he's leading up to this. And he's saying, not only are we still going to be us, we're going to be a much better version of us. That's what he's saying. Let me ask you this. Which is the greatest? The seed that goes in the ground or that comes up from the ground? Absolutely. Thank you for helping us out. Yeah, that's what we're trying to see here. We're limited now. We're limited. Brethren, we're under the curse of the fall. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, You tell me about that. How did that go for you today? I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad I'm saved. But we still struggle with this old flesh. And one day we're not going to. And that's what Paul was saying. One day we're going into the grave, brethren. And if Jesus doesn't come back in our life, we're going in the grave. And we're going to hear the trumpet. And we're going to hear the shout. And we're coming up. And when we do, brethren, our ground, now listen, our bodies is going to come up out of that ground. Now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so our spirit, and we'll get to that in a minute. I want you to understand something. Our spirit, I don't understand all of this, but it's not your body. Your body's going back in the ground. You say, well, you know, what about those people that get cremated and they're saved and they get cremated and they throw their dust into the ocean? How's God going to bring all that together? I don't know. He brought all the galaxies and all the universes out of nothing. I think God can handle that. Amen? I don't lose any sleep over that. Like zero. I don't even give that a second thought. I'm fully aware of God's ability, and I know you are too. I just think that it's time that we let a lost and dying world know there's nothing that our God cannot do. And I'm not going to question what God said is going to be so. And God said that there's we're going into the ground, we're coming up different, but we're going to be the same. Just a better version of who we are. And he said there's going to be differences, but yet the differences are going to be distinguishable. You're going to know some are going to be brighter than others. The sun's brighter than the moon. Amen. That's right. Some stars are brighter than others. Notice what he said again in verse number 41. He said, another glory is of the stars, and one star differeth from another in glory. They're different. Some are brighter. Some are bigger. That's right. In heaven, it's going to be that way. I want you to know that. It just is. You say, well, I don't think it ought to be that way. Well, now listen, we're not socialists. We don't think everything ought to be the same for everybody. We're Christians. And God said, you want to reap a big reward? Then sow a big labor. Right? You want to reap a lot? Sow a lot. Is that what God said, brethren? That's exactly what he said. And so he said, now when we get to heaven, look at verse number 42, he said this. He said, so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now what does that mean? What does corruption mean? Somebody tell me what corruption means. decay. When something corrupts, it's decaying, right? It's going through a decomposition. It's decomposing. It's decaying. It's dying. I don't mean to be morbid. We're dying. You understand that? We're dying. You say, I feel full of life. I'm glad. But you're dying. We're dying. Because of one man. And sin entered into the world. And the penalty of sin is death. And we're born in trespasses and sin. And we're dying, brethren. We're dying. But one day, we're going to be raised where death is not even, it's not even a thought. It's not possible. It's not possible. There's going to be no more death. That's one of the great wonders about the afterlife. It's one of the great marvelous things that we benefit as a Christian. In heaven, there'll be no more death. You know what Revelation 21:4 says? God shall wipe away all of their tears. He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. Neither shall there be any more death. Right? No more death. And so he said, that is now dying, that has the capacity to die. Verse 42, look at it. That in the resurrection of the dead, it is going to be sown in corruption. It had the capacity to die, it died, but it's going to be raised without the possibility, without the capacity to die ever again. Praise the Lord. Then he said this in verse number 43. He said, it is sown in dishonor. And he said, it's going to be raised in glory. Now, you take something of the same material. Now, please listen. Carbon, right? Carbon. Coal is carbon, right? Diamond is carbon, right? Coal, diamond. One is one is the other. I would say, well, you know, but they're the same. Carbon. This is what Paul was saying. When we're sown, we have so many, listen, we have so many limitations. We have so many things that are, well, just dark and black, and it's just not good. But thank God when we get raised, it's not going to be that way. Same material as far as, you know, the same meat, just a glorified meat. And we'll explain that a little later. Then he said this. He said, not only that, he said, it's going to be sown in weakness. You see that? Weak, frail. You watch people die. And right now, we're, as far as I know, even though we're all dying, it's not showing. But one day it's going to show. You understand that, right? One day it's going to show. People slow down. And people get old, and they get their ability, it becomes limited. And their mind becomes limited. And what they can do and where they can go. And eventually many people get down to where they can't even get out of the bed. It's weakness. We're headed there. You say, well, that just sounds terrible. Well, don't get too, you know, upset about it. It's part of life. And the sooner we face it and deal with it, the better off we are. Because that's not the end, brethren. That's not the end. If the grave were the end, this would be a terrible thing that I'd be telling you. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. Amen. That's what we're celebrating. Jesus came out of the grave. And because he did, I'm going to resurrect in his likeness. Brethren, Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. There's a part of me that's never going to die. I hope to God that we get a hold of this. We should be shouting and praising God. I'm never going to die. A part of me is always going to be living. Always. And so he said, we're going to be sown in weakness. And he said that we're going to be raised in power. Well, I tell you, when we get up, those old timers used to sing about that great getting up morning. They were talking about the resurrection. It's going to be different. The day as you grow older, and you don't even have to be growing older. You can be young and pull a muscle or a tendon or work out and get sore or find out you had some muscles that you didn't know you had by doing some things that you haven't done. And I tell you, your body will let you know, won't it? It will. And your mind will too. It just does. You know, I read somewhere, and I'm going to ramble a little bit here. I read somewhere about, I don't know, it's been about 10 years ago, maybe 15, where that a man, and when I say man, mankind, an individual could score very high on their IQ test, and it was determined that their ability to use the intellect, the brain and the mind are two different things, and I don't want to get into that. It's two different things. The brain is the unit. The mind is the capacity to use that unit that you've been given, and so about 3% is what it was saying. About 3% that man used under the curse of his brain. Now, why did I say that? Well, first of all, when I was thinking about this earlier, I was thinking, I think it's down to about 0.5%. Amen. I think we're losing ground, brethren. I don't think we're gaining ground on that one. When I look around today, I'm being serious. Evolution, these post-millennialists, these people that are trying to tell us man's getting better. I don't see it. Amen. You see it? I don't see it. Man's not getting better. Sin. The exceeding sinfulness of sin is running its course. In the last days, the perilous times are going to increase. And these things are happening. And it's affecting our society. Now, what do I mean by that? I want to close with this, and I'll finish up here. He said, it is sown in weakness. In verse 43, it is raised in power. One day we're going to have, I don't understand it. You know, there are a lot of younger people in the younger generation that are, they are fixated, they are fascinated with Marvel and superheroes, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. That's not my forte. With the power of these, you know, superheroes, your Supermans and all of these guys, I can't name them all. They don't have anything on what I'm going to have. I'm just telling you. When you study this word, sown, when it talks about sown in weakness, raised in power, when you study the life of the Lord Jesus after he resurrected, now it's there's going to be some power that we have in a glorified body that I cannot explain it. But I know that it transcends by far what we have now under the curse. And this is where I want to close. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this before you answer it. Do you think anyone in the last several thousand years, 3,000, 4,000 years, has seen what God's intention was for a human being? Now think about that. Now, you know, you look around, some fine-looking folks, and we see some physical specimens, male and female, in our day. But I want to tell you something. Over the last 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years, depending on how old you think the earth is, man has gone down, scarred, marred, debilitated by sin. You understand that? When God made Adam, would you have liked to have seen Adam before sin? Could you imagine what Adam was like? See, that's what Paul starts talking about here. He does. He starts talking about the first Adam and the last Adam. And he says, you know what? Right now, I have the image of the first Adam. That's what you have. And here it is. Look at it here. In verse number 48, he says, as the earth As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as, verse 49, we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And so I'm bearing the image of Adam. You say, well, you know, we're all made in the image of God. You know, I used to think that, but I don't believe that anymore. Adam was made in the image of God. Read Genesis 1, and you'll find out. Adam was made in the image of God. But in Genesis 5, and if you want to fact check me, in Genesis 5, verse number 3, the Bible says that when Adam brought forth his son, which at that time was Seth, it was after his likeness and his image. Man's image. And here Paul confirms that. Right now, look at what it says here in verse number 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, that's Adam. That's the first Adam. We also one day are going to bear the image of the heavenly. That's the last Adam. That's Jesus. Now right now, we have that image that has fit us for the earth. That's what Paul was saying. We're limited, brethren. We're limited. Do you understand? You see, Adam was created in the image of God, but then when Adam sinned in the garden, well, he lost something. He did. And when Adam gave the offspring, it was in his image. Do you understand that? And so we're in the image of man. We're in the image of something that has fallen, something that has been limited. That's why we're going to be sown in weakness. We've been weakened. We're not what God made the original man. We're not like Adam was when he came off the press, so to speak. Amen. Are you listening? I'm trying to get this across in simple terms. That's all I can do because I'm simple-minded. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. Adam wasn't like us. Amen. He wasn't. We're talking about a man that looked and said, there's an ant. There's a grasshopper. That's a cow. There goes an eagle. There's an alligator. We're talking about a man that had full use of his mind. He was not under the curse. No sin had scarred and marred his life. That's why when God made Eve from him, he said, whoa, man, right? I mean, what a specimen she was, because she was taken from a perfect man. But that's not us. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's not who we are now. We've been marred and scarred. Rather, we've been weakened. People walking around thinking they're all that. We're nothing. You know, I hope you understand that. We're nothing. I don't think I have to convince you of that. If I do, you're in trouble. We're weak. We're nothing. Outside of God. Outside of God. So here's what Paul said. He said, one day you're going to die if Jesus doesn't come. And he'll address that. We'll address that next week. And he said, when you do, your body's going in the ground. Now, to be absent, he addresses this in the second letter, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, your spirit. Now, he didn't say, you know, when he talked about the natural man, the spiritual man, he didn't say spirit man. There's no such thing as a spirit man. You do understand that. Read carefully what Paul said. Read it carefully. It's not a spirit man, it's a spiritual man. There's a big difference. A spirit man is a contradiction of terms, right? That's like a square circle. You know, there's no such thing as a spirit man. It's a spiritual man. Read the scripture. A spirit's a spirit. We're a triune being. Spirit, soul, body. But we've got it reversed now. Body, soul, spirit. We give very little attention to our spirit. So what's that going to mean for me when I die, preacher? Well, it's going to mean a lot of things. If you're saved, it's going to mean you're going to go be with Jesus. And your body, wherever it is, I don't know how you're going to die. I don't know how you intend on putting away your body. But I know this. I know that when Jesus calls us home, our body's going to resurrect from the grave somewhere. Could be a watery grave, could be ashes. I don't know where it's going to be. But I know that we're going to have a resurrection body. You say, well, now, wait a minute. It can't be from the same body. Well, then why would he resurrect that body? That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? He's going to resurrect that body. And there's going to be the same body, but it's going to be a glorified body, a spiritual body. This old earthly body minds the things of the earth, doesn't it? Doesn't it, brethren? But that spiritual body is going to mind the things of the Spirit. It is heavenly. And it's going to be different. We'll still see each other, know each other, fellowship with each other. Jesus ate with his spiritual body. We still get to eat. I thought if I hadn't got an amen all night, I'd get an amen right there. I said, maybe, if you were asleep, wake up. When we get to heaven, we still get to eat. Amen. Don't even have to worry about fat grams, calories. How about that? That's the kind of program I signed up for. Brethren, we've got it good. I don't know what you're going through in your body, in your mind. I have no idea. There's no way I can know. And I say it often from this pulpit, there's a better day coming. But you know what? There's a better body coming too. It is. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to close with a promise from God's word. I hope it'll help you. I say, preacher, I don't know that I know much more than I did. Well, we're not through yet. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2 says, beloved, it doth not yet appear. Now listen to what John said now, what we shall be. You know, even John had questions. If John can't answer the questions, I'm not going to be able to answer them all. Is that what he said? 1 John 3, 2. He said, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't have all the answers, but he did say this. He said, but we know. He said, I'm going to tell you what I know. That when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I don't have all the answers, but I have that one. I'm going to be like Jesus. That gives me a great peace in my heart. I'm going to have a perfect body. That's a wonderful thing. Perfect mind. No sin, no sorrow, no death, no crying, no trying, no dying. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful thing. It really is. Let's bow our heads together. Now, we'll pick up some next week.